Now, yesterday we learned that according to Rabbi Elazar, even though we have a case in which we are utilizing the Edut of Tzara, where we have two Yevamot, and each one's Edut, vis-a-vis the husband, is being used to be matir the other one, so that we're certain that there's no Yevam around. Normally we wouldn't do it, but we do it in this case, because once we were matir them to be mityabim, after the death of the Yevamim, they are now suddenly mutarot for everybody, which ends up meaning that we were matir someone l'shuk on the basis of the Edus of Etzara, which doesn't seem to make sense since the rule is that we don't accept the Edus of Etzara. So yesterday, Rava asked, what is Rebbe Elazar's reasoning? There's two possibilities. One is that he simply disagrees with the initial assumption that Etzara cannot be Me'ida. Or this may be a unique case, because since each one of these tzarot is also being made vis-a-vis herself and is messing up her own life by going ahead now and marrying the Yavan based on her own testimony, why would she want to mess up her own life? I mean, if in fact her husband hadn't died, I mean, she would not have married herself to the Yavan, because at that point, if the husband comes back, she's now a surah to both. So if that's the case, we believe her, because why would she destroy her life? And we said the nafkamina would be about whether, if it's according to the reason that she wouldn't mess up her life, then we have to see that she went ahead and actually married the guy. If the reason is because Atzara is, according to Rabbi Elazar, allowed to be meyid ala chaverta, so then we would accept her edut to allow the Tzara to get married, even though she was never went ahead and married herself. And we left with that hanging question. My. That was the last thing that we learned, was what indeed is the din? And this was on the fifth line down, right up to the Tashma on Daf Kuf Chof Omen Aleph. Tashma. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hoelvu hu truly vamim hu truly chol adam. Now, the words of Rabbi Elazar were, since we were matir them to the Yevamim, so therefore they become mutter to the Shuk. Now, what exactly is that supposed to mean? The Gemara wants to look into now. Yamet Bishmeimah. The reasoning is that she would not have wrecked her own life. That would explain to us why the Mishnah is making the heter of the Yavama to the Shuk dependent on the heter of the heter to the Yavam. But if you're going to tell me, that the real reason of Rebbe Elazar is because in general the Tzara is actually allowed to be Me'id al Chavertel, and we will accept her testimony, so what does it have to do with the words of Hoel Vuchuli Vamin? It should be Avakav Dolinsev, even if they had never gotten married. Nami, it should also be enough to be matir her to everybody on that basis. Ela Shemam, you know, therefore the only way to understand is that Taimed Rebbe Elazar is Mishum de Insev Hu. It's because of the fact that she herself got married. Velo Mekalkala Nafshana, would make no sense for her to ruin her own life just to kill the Tzara. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Maybe the way to understand this is that Rabbi Elazar is not telling over his own reasoning. Maybe Rabbi Elazar ledivrehim. He's talking about to the Chachamim from your point of view, Ka'amar Lahu. And as he's saying like this, look, gentlemen, Ledidi, as far as I'm concerned, this whole issue is a non-issue because it's Tzara is Me'id ala Chaverta straight off the bat without all of this analysis. And that would be true of Agav Deloin, Siv, Minas Venina La. We would allow the Tzara to get married based on the testimony of the other Tzara, in which case, even in the Reisha of the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer would say that they are mutarot to get married. But let's talk about it from your point of view, okay? So, Leditku, you've got this whole sheet over here. You hold that Tzara isn't believed because maybe she has these bad kavanot to mess her up. Okay, but at least agree to me, odile miyat. At least agree in the case, the Echa, the Insa, that if she actually went ahead and married now herself the Yavam, which would have ruined her life, so then we should certainly, in that case, allow the Tzara to marry. And how could you possibly think otherwise? Say to Rabbanan, well, I'll tell you very simply. We figure she's doing the same thing that Shimshon did. It's worth it to her to screw up her whole life, as long as she can get this horrific Tzara that she's been living with. So this is not a proof. Toshman, let's see if we can bring a proof from the following. Here we have now a woman who goes together with her husband, she comes back and she says, my husband has died. Tina say, so let her get married. Vitzarata. However, the Tzara is not believed based on her testimony. So Tzarata remains Asura. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says that if the Tzara was Muteris, then she too becomes Muteris. Now, since the Gemara now defines this Heter in the state of the Tzara, in what her status is, so then the Mashma'ut is that from the time that we give the Heter, her Tzara was actually Muteris, even though up until this point, the first one hasn't done an actual act to get married on the basis of her testimony. Says the Gemara, all that Rebbe Elazar might have meant, after all, Amar, maybe what he meant to say is, Hovu Hutra Venisait. Maybe it wasn't just Hutra, maybe it was that she did get married. Says the Gemara, if, in fact, we're going to require in Rebbe Elazar Shita that she really marry to prove that she doesn't have a Kavana to be in the Kalkel, so then we don't have any proof at all from the fact that there is, that her marriage proves that she doesn't have any intent to damage. Because of Leichush, why aren't we afraid that Dima Begita Asai? Maybe she's not ruining herself. Maybe her husband gave her a get. And actually, she has no problem marrying anybody else, but she doesn't tell anybody that she gets a get. Instead, she comes in and she says that her husband died in order to mess up the Tzara. And meanwhile, even if she would go ahead and marry, there'd be no problem because she's being married on the basis of the get that she received. So if, in any event, Rabbi Elazar still says that it is muteret, so that means that he's not now, Rabbi Elazar, depending here on the fact that she married, but rather on the actual edut itself. And says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. I mean, the Indians of Israel, Achinami. If, actually, she went ahead and she married Yisrael, not a Kohen. So then in Achinami, there's no raya from the fact that she marries that her husband died, because she may simply have gotten a get. The case, however, in the Mishnah is Achamai Eskin and Dinsav LaKohen. So since she gets married to a Kohen, which would not going to work if she's actually not an Almana who was Muteris to a Kohen, but rather is a Grusha who is a Surah, so if now what we could say is that Hakamai is convinced of the Kohen, and therefore that proves that her husband actually died, because if she would get married based on a get and her husband shows up, so now she is going to have to show her get, right? Now if she shows her get, she's going to become psula on that husband, and she's just in the same horrible situation that anybody else would be in having a husband show up. So even though she's got the get in her back pocket, she doesn't show it. At one point, she's going to have to show it. And at that point, she's going to be in big trouble. Dr. Elika Mishnah, Ein Me'idin. Person who wants to testify that somebody was killed or died, he cannot testify Ela al patsuf panim. He has to recognize, and the recognition over here is that he knows him. It's not based on any particular simon, but rather on the overall sense of what's called tvi'ut ayin, in my ability to identify something with a host of factors that I take into consideration in a completely subconscious fashion, which is much more effective than my having a particular simon. So here I know who he is, but I know who he is because I see his entire face, the partsuf panim together with a nose. But if it's not an entire face, so that it's missing even the bone, the chin bones, or a nose, then I cannot identify the guy, even though I'm convinced that it hits him. And Alpha Pishimani Bikufo Bikilab. Even if he could be identified through a mole on his left shoulder, let's say, or through the clothing that he's wearing. Furthermore, Aimeidin Ela Architetin of Sho. You have to be able to say that I actually saw him die. Not that I saw a situation that he couldn't possibly survive. And therefore Afilo Raum Miguyad, even if I see this guy cut into pieces and he's wounded in a horrific fashion, or he's saluv, I see him that he's crucified, dripping blood, or I see him v'achayal cheletbo, I see a lion feasting on him, I cannot be made unless I know that he died. Ein me'idin elat shlosha yamin. Furthermore, if I come to identify someone, the body is more than 3 days old, and I'm convinced that I know him, can't rely on it, because there is so many changes at that point, from bloating and decay, that it's impossible to correctly identify the body. And so Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba says that's putting a very specific time limit on things that are really so complex in terms of the factors that go into it. I mean, we're talking about, we'd have to consider the outside temperature. We'd have to consider the humidity. We'd have to consider the general climate. We'd have to consider this guy's body, the corpse's initial body heat, how much fat there is, so on and so forth. Lo kol adam, v'lo kol hamakom, v'lo kol hasha'ot shavin. You can't give a hard and fast rule about these things, because there are people that will decay much faster and people or situations that will decay much slower. Tana Rabbanan, if we find somebody killed and he has a padachat, he has a forehead, but with no parts of panim, but suras panav is completely wiped out, we can't figure out who it would be. Or perhaps we have the other way around. We have the parts of panim, but there is no surviving padachat. So then, ein me'inin ad sheyu shneihem, we need to have both the parts of panim together over here with the padachat and im hachotam. Omra Bayevi Temer of Kahana, micro, where do we see that this would be true? Well, it says, hakarat panehem antabam. So it's their own faces that are meyid on them. So that means that the thing that is meyid about what a person is the hakarat panim, not the rest of his body. Bring us along now. The Gemara, a story of Abba Bar Marta, who is Arba Bar Minyumi, having maski b'Reish Galuta Zuzi, he owed a lot of money to the Reish Galuta's goons over there, and he needed to get out of his house, where he was hiding, somewhere else. So I said Kira, so he went ahead, and he took some soft wax, Tovak Bivliyata, and he stuck it on to some rags. And then Davak Be'opayu, he went ahead and stuck all of that around his forehead so that he would be unrecognizable as what he was before. Cholav Kamayu V'lo Bishkarua. They went ahead, basically, he walked right in front of them, and they did not recognize him. So that means that a padacha that's covered with something is a very excellent disguise. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Afal Pi Sheyesh Simanim, that the Simanim, they're not going to be sufficient. So now the Gemara wants to be medayik. So notice what that means is, lameimah, from the fact that you cannot marry, allow a woman to marry out to the shuk, based on identifying the body of her husband on something that was on him, like a mole or something. So that would mean that simanim lav d'oraita. We don't want to be modernist d'oraita based on the just the way that I can sort of tell you rather than actually recognize. So I'm going by a book, okay? This must be the guy because here he's got a mole on his right shoulder and here he's got a scar on his left shoulder and so on. I still haven't the slightest idea who he is. I don't recognize him. So what this would be saying, therefore, is that Simonim will have the rice. If I'm getting hungry, I should eat. Zakta Helika Mishnah, Ein Me'idin. Person who wants to testify that somebody was killed or died, he cannot testify Ella al patsuf panim. He has to recognize, and the recognition over here is that he knows him. It's not based on any particular simon, but rather on the overall sense of what's called tviut ayin, in my ability to identify something with a host of factors that I take into consideration in a completely subconscious fashion, which is much more effective than my having a particular simon. So here I know who he is, but I know who he is because I see his entire face, the partsuf panim together with a nose. But if it's not an entire face, so that it's missing even the bones, the chin bones, or a nose, then I cannot identify the guy, even though I'm convinced that it hits him. And even if he could be identified through a mole on his left shoulder, let's say, or through the clothing that he's wearing. Furthermore, Eimeidin Ela Architetin of Sho. You have to be able to say that I actually saw him die, not that I saw a situation that he couldn't possibly survive. And therefore, afilu ra'u miguyad, even if I see this guy cut into pieces, and he's wounded in a horrific fashion, or he's saluv, I see him, that he's crucified, dripping blood, or I see him v'achayal cheletbo, I see a lion feasting on him, I cannot be made unless I know that he died. Ein me'idin elat shlosha yamim. Furthermore, if I come to identify someone, the body is more than 3 days old, and I'm convinced that I know him, can't rely on it, because there's so many changes at that point, from bloating and decay, that it's impossible to correctly identify the body. And so Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says that's putting a very specific time limit on things that are really so complex in terms of the factors that go into it. I mean, we're talking about, we'd have to consider the outside temperature, we'd have to consider the humidity, we'd have to consider the general climate, we'd have to consider this guy's body, the corpse's initial body heat, how much fat there is, so on and so forth. Lo kol adam, v'lo kol ha-makom, v'lo kol ha-sha'ot shavin. You can't give a hard and fast rule about these things, because there are people that will decay much faster, and people or situations that will decay much slower. Tana Rabbanan, if we find somebody killed, and he has a padachat, he has a forehead, but with no parts of panim, but suras panov is completely wiped out, we can't figure out who it would be. Or perhaps we have the other way around. We have the parts of panim, but there is no surviving padachat. So then, ein me'inin ad shiyu shneihem, we need to have both the parts of panim together over here with the padachat and im hachotam. Omer Abayevi Temer of Kahana, my crow, where do we see that this would be true? Well, it says, hakarat p'nehem on tabam. So it's their own faces that are made on them. So that means that the thing that is made about what a person is the hakarat panim, not the rest of his body. Brings along now the Gemara, a story of Abba Bar Marta, who is Arba Bar Minyumi, having maski b'reish galuta zuzi. He owed a lot of money to the Reish Galuta's goons over there, and he needed to get out of his house, where he was hiding, somewhere else. So I said Kira, so he went ahead, and he took some soft wax, Tovak Bivliyata, and he stuck it on to some rags. And then Davak Be'opayu, he went ahead and stuck all of that around his forehead so that he would be unrecognizable as what he was before. Cholaf Kamayu Velo Bishkarua. They went ahead, basically, he walked right in front of them, and they did not recognize him. So that means that a padacha that's covered with something is a very excellent disguise. Now, it said in the Mishnah, for Pishiyei Simanim. So this means that I cannot identify the body just based on a mole or something, right? So Lameimra, if you're telling me that I cannot rely on what he's wearing, right? I cannot rely on a scar and a mole, so you're telling me that Simanim, where we, let's say, when we give back somebody who lost something based on Simanim, that really is not Midiraita, that is only a Takanat Chachamim, but that Mi'ikar Adin, and this is a big question in the Gemara, in Baba Metzia, is whether or not the simon works, or whether perhaps, as far as the Uraisa is concerned, I need to be able to recognize that this belongs to somebody, and not to prove it in a generic way by finding a particular mark on it somewhere or another. So here you're telling me that I can't rely on simanim to be matir a woman, which means that it's not a din, that's the Uraisa. Ramini, but if that's true, how do you explain the following din? This case refers to a shliach who's bringing a get, and he loses that get, and he finds it sometime later. So the din is he can't use this get to be megarish that woman, because we're afraid maybe this is not the get that he lost. Maybe another guy with the same name passed by, left a get for a woman by the same name. So the only way that he can now actually be samech on this is if he was mitzao kashur b'kisu b'haniki b'tabad. If he found that shliach now finds this get tied to a wallet or to a carrying case or with a signet ring, and those he knows, so now he can assume that this must be there for the get that was attached to it. Oshin himself, for that matter, he finds the get inside his own suitcase. So feel is man ruba, and then even though this takes place a long time later, and so we should be cautious that maybe this is something that fell from somebody else. It's kasha. So you see from here that relying on simonim to be matir neshes ish is okay. If that's true, then simonim have to be deraisa, not derabbanan. And it says the Gemara Marabai lo kasha. There's really no problem over here. Oh, this braisa that holds that you can rely on simonim to be matir neshes is going to leave the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Mahavai, who holds that Shimonim are deraisa. But, says the Gemara, What does that help us? After all, the Mishnah that says we cannot be matir a woman al pisi money is going according to the Rabbana. All tzatzi money will love the Raisa. The Tanya ein meidin al hashuma. You cannot be made a mate that this person is Mr. So-and-so based on a mole in a particular location. Rabbi Elazar ben Mavai omer meidin. You can indeed. My love, I would assume that they're arguing in the following machlokas. One holds that the simonim are reliable midiraisa, in which case I can even be meisi anisha, and the other one holds that simonim actually are not reliable diraisa even in the name moments. Omar Rava, Rava doesn't agree with this, and he wants to be docha. What Abaya has managed to do over here to set up. Says the Gemara, perhaps not. Omar Rava. Rava says, no. I could say, the Kulei Amar, that both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan hold that Simonim are D'oraisa. And if indeed the Shuma itself would be a Simon, so then Enoch Inami, we would have been Matir, the woman, based on the Shuma. But Hacha B'Shuma Mitzriya B'Ben Gilo, come before you. What we're arguing over here is about people who were born in the same area, around the same period. Where over there, we have a mazal that is similar, in which case, if it happens to be a particular mole that is common now among that group, so then we can't rely on it because it's too generic. So, ma'asav ha'shuma metzuya b'ben gilo, that this type of mark is found across the board, people that were born around the same time. And because of that, it's not bechwal considered a real simon because it's too widespread to be personally identifiable. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Mahavoy, Marasava, that it's not considered to be something that you'd find scattered all across Ben Gilo, and therefore it's not generic, it's unique, and it serves as a proper marker for identification. The Ikri Amri, others say there may be a completely different machlokas over here. We might be arguing over here in is what the halacha is about a mole as to whether it's liable to change from what it looked at after the person dies. So Marsava, that's a Srilishtanot Lachar Mitah, so then it's not considered to be a simon at all because I can rely on something that's changeable. Umar was Rabbi Elazar ben Mahavoy Savar, that it's Srilishtanot Lachar Mitah, it's considered to be a good simon, because it's not going to change after death. The Ikedi Amri, others are Nama Rava. The Kulei Amar Simani Drabonon. On the contrary, everybody agrees that Simani is Drabonon. Vahacha, Bishuma Siman Muvahak, come before getting. Shiloh here is, even though Simani may in general be Midrabona, but there's a concept of a Siman Muvahak. A Siman Muvahak is something that is extremely rare and extremely specific. So the question over here would be, whether a shuma, whether a mole, is considered to be that type of non-generic, very specific type of simon. So, marasav simon mivak, umar samar lav simon mivaku. Ask the Gemara, lahach lishna, diktama rava simonim diraisa. What about the way that we entertained that the possibility is that the machlokas over here is as to whether simonim diraisa, right? But hakatani afapishay simonim gufo bekelav. So, how do you explain the fact that it says that even though there were simonim, those simonim are not considered to be valid? No, that means, when we talk about simonim over there, we mean very, very vague and broad kind of things. Let's say that it's talking about, when it says begufo, you know what begufo means over here? Not that there's some mold that's very specific, but rather he's a tall guy or he's a short guy. The orich, or guts, or over there, that's not even called a simon at all because it's so widespread. When it says there was a simon bekelav, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about, over here, a different question. The fact that one guy has this kli, does that mean that necessarily the person that has that kli is that guy, or might he simply have borrowed it? So there, chashir l'she'ela, that may be a different question, whether we have to worry that when we find something in a particular container, even though it's one person's container, maybe he lent it out to another guy. Ask the Gemara, how could you think that? I mean, chashir l'she'ela. So then, if you're going to tell me that we are afraid that maybe this was borrowed, so then if that would be the case, chamor b'simana yukof echad ma'adrinan. The halacha is that we return a chamor that wandered off based on the blanket that you put on the chamor. But according to this, how in the world could we ever give it back? Why aren't we afraid that maybe he lent an ukof to his friend and the chamor of his friend got lost and the owner of the ukof gave a simon? And then he comes along and he takes away the chamor of his friend. Because, I mean, maybe it was just borrowed. No, that's no problem. Because lo shaili inche ukva, nobody would lend out the ukva for chamor. Why? Dimsakev le lecham. It's because if you would do that, it's going to hurt the skin of the chamor. It'll give it all types of skin diseases and it'll catch things from the other one. And therefore, people are very careful not to trade stockings. Ask the Gemara, if simonim that we're talking about, that were put onto kelim, is, and that we talked about over here, are not considered to be a simon, because we're afraid that maybe they were borrowed. So then now how do we understand the brisa that we had before? And the brisa before, we said, mitzao, if he finds now this get that had been lost, and it's kashur b'kis u'ba'anagyu b'tabat, so he knows the owners of all of those particular simonim, that's a wallet or a purse or a signet ring. So if you're telling me that they're not considered to be a simon, that's the Yeraisa, Echim Ma'adrinan, how can we give it back now? The get on the basis of simonim, how can we give any of these things, the simonim of a kis or a tabat or an arnaki? Why aren't we afraid that maybe he lent out one of these things and at that point it was nofal and ended up to be together with this? Answers the Gemara, Tabat, the reason we don't have to worry about that is because Chayesh was a Yufe. People don't want to use a Tabas to give to somebody else to lend, because if he's got your personal signet ring, obviously he can do all kinds of things, enter your bank account and so on. I mean, that's a bad as going fishing on the internet. So he wouldn't want to give away that information. And therefore, that's not a problem. So the tabat is chayshus yufe. A kiss and an arniki, menachas sheyishi. People are very superstitious about the wallet that they had on them, out of which they became and made their first million and so on. So that they view that as a simon. And therefore, for sure, he's not going to give it to somebody else. So the lo mushli, nobody would lend out something like that. Now there's another teretz on the problem. According to the lashon that holds, that simanim are d'oraisa, why are these simanim in the Mishnah? Why do we say that they're not good simanim? Ibai seima, maybe in fact we're not chayish l'sheila, okay? When it says kelav, you know what it's referring to? It's referring not to some kind of clear-cut simon that says that they're not considered to be simonim. Real cut, clear-cut simon in a keli would be a good simon. When we say kelev, we're talking about if they're white kelim or they're red kelim. I mean, that is obviously so generic that what could it possibly prove? Now, the Mishnah continued to say, afilu ra'u miguyad, even if he was chopped up. Lamim, are you trying to tell me? I mean, it seems to be saying, I can't say that the guy died even though I didn't watch him die, but I saw him cut up into pieces. You're telling me that Meguyad is Chaye? That a person now who is cut, he's got some chance of living? Raminu, doesn't it say in the Torah? It says, B'nefesh Adam Asher Yamut. This teaches us that Adam Eino Mitameh Achitetze Nafsho. Person is not considered to be Mitameh until he's actually dead. V'yafilu, even if he would be in a matzav, that he has no possibility of living, so that he was Meguyad or he was Goses, even so he would be considered to be not Mitami. Okay? Now, if he's not dead, then obviously he's not Mitami. So what you're telling me is that Temuyeh lo Mitami, in other words, he's not considered to be Mitami yet, but he certainly is not alive in the sense he got a chance of survival, because otherwise what's the Chiddush? So, he's certainly not going to have a chance of living. Because if he had a chance of living, what would be the Kiddush to say that he's not going to be Matame like a dead man? Om Rabaye Lokasha, that doesn't bother me, because the Mishnah, the Mishnah that is saying over here that the Meguyad can in fact live is going according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, whereas the Mishnah in Arles, the Mishnah that says that a Meguyad cannot live is going according to Rabbanan. Here's the Machlokas, the Tanya. Me'idim ala Meguyad, the Mishnah, you are able to give testimony on someone who was cut up that his wife should get married, even though we didn't watch him die, because he has to have a chance of living. But in Me'idin ala Tzaluv, you cannot testify to someone who's up on the cross because he does have a chance of living. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, afala beguyad ein me'idin. You don't even give testimony about somebody who was cut up because you don't know that he's definitely going to die. Why? Mipnei she'yacholi kavod v'lechiyot. If somebody comes along and cauterizes the areas that were cut completely, it stops the bleeding, starches all the problem, then he may in fact make it. Now the Gemara is bothered by what Abaye just said. Mi matis lekume, can you really say that the Mishnah is going like Rav Shimon ben Elazar? But Amivokatani Sefer, Maaseba Asya. Doesn't it say in the Sefer that there was a story in Asia about a diver, Shishishuru Liam, they lowered him into the sea, Velo al Tabi Yadam El Raglo, and the only thing that they got pulled back up was his leg, the rest of him was gone and was left in the sea. They don't know what happened. And so the Chachomim said over there, well, actually, if the part of the regal that was brought up from the Yam was Minakuva Vamala, was an area that was above the knee. So then if that would be the case, he doesn't have a chance now of living. And because of that, he must say, she could get married. But if it was lower, he was Minakuva Vamata, so it was now in the direction of the leg, instead of the towards the thigh or the hip, so then there is a chance of living. And therefore, Lotinase, his wife, cannot get married. So now, if our Mishnah is going in the Shita from Shir Ben Elazar, that a Meguyad can get a refuah through cauterization, so that means that somebody whose leg was cut can also be cauterized in a place where he will be able to live. So why then do we say that she's Muteres to get married on the basis of what it is that you saw? He hasn't seen him die, and maybe he was cauterized and would live. Answers the Gemara, Shinei Maya. This is a unique case. Water is different, because water is barzel maka. Water makes a maka worse, and it keeps it bleeding. And you can't bring a raya from that case to a case that we had in the Sefer that a Meguyad cannot live, because of the Sefer it's talking about someone who was in the water. And indeed, if you're in the water, you've got a lot of problems, because the water will now keep the bleeding going, and so on. That's the Gemara of Omer Rabba Rabba Chana, Lididhi Chazali Ahu Taya. I saw, said Rabba Rabba Chana, a particular Arab, the Shako Safsira, he took a sword, the Gaide Legamle, and he just went and cut off the foot of his gamal. Velo of Sekite Ligarute, he died so instantly that he was in the middle of braying and he didn't complete even the braying. In other words, it's instant death, which means that if somebody was hurt in this fashion, he would die 100% before we would have a chance to cauterize the wound. So why should we assume you cauterize the wound? That camel was a weakling and wasn't able to handle the stress. Another answer that we have on the kasha from the Mishnah back in Orlois is that Rav Arman, the Mishnah is talking about where it says you cannot be made on someone who is Meguyad. That's talking about Pesachim Mubenet. That's where he used a boiling hot knife, which accomplishes cauterization as it cuts.
So over there, even the Chachorim agree that even the Leo normally in Meguyad is not able to survive. They're made if it's in a case where the person was capable of starching the blood, but then he could. The next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that if you see the man where a Chaya is sitting and nibbling on him, it still can't be made. We're talking about that the Chaya is eating him from a place where he wouldn't die when injured. But I mean, if we see that it's eating him, so then, of course, we would be made to be no sieged. The Omer of Yerom Shmuel, Shachat Bo Shlaim, Arov Shlaim. Once you did a Shechita of the trachea, the esophagus, or even most of the two, Ubarach Me'idin. If the one who was shechted runs away and manages to disappear on us, we could still be made because he's vadai going to die. Asks the Gemara, Amy, is that true? I thought for Omer of Yerom Shmuel, Shachat Bashlaim or Rav Shlaim, V'omaz V'omar, Kitvu Get Lishti. Somebody who, in fact, had his trachea and esophagus sliced through, and he lets us know that he wants to get to be given to his wife, Arelu Yichtavu V'yitlu. They can write that get, and they can deliver it.
Which means that we're not afraid, in other words, that before we get a chance to hand over the get, this guy is going to be dead. And even though we had cut both simonim, he is still considered to be a chazok, that he's alive. I thought you said that the idea is that he's definitely able to be made, that he died. And it says the Gemara, what does that prove? Chayhu v'sofa lamut. All we're saying is that he's not considered to be dead. The get that is given is considered to be a get while the man is alive, but he's definitely going to die. So that when she comes now and hears the edus of somebody who, a week later, who says that he saw this matzah, then obviously she can rely that he's dead. Ask the Gemara if that's the case, Elamihata, if you're telling me that the very act of cutting through the two simonim, the trachea and the esophagus, or most of them, means that he is definitely going to die, so then why should we not say, Yehei golel yado, somebody will shech somebody b'shogeg. So he drops a knife, basically, he's going up a ladder, and he now cuts through the guy's throat. So why should we not say that this is straight out murder b'shogeg? Aloma Tanya, why then did we learn in the Braita, shochat shneim rov shneim reza eino golel? Even if the guy ultimately dies, we don't view that death as being directly the result of what this person had done. So it must be that we think that there was something else that came between the time that killed him, that he didn't die directly from this. So if that's the case, if nothing else would have happened, I mean, how can we be made that he died if we see that we don't consider this to be the proximate cause of death? As is the Gemara, Yidmar Allah, we've explained over there, the reason that Shapata from Golas is Omer of Oshaya, Cheshina Shema Roh Bibelto. And then by Golas is that the person that did the murder, Bishogeg, had to have caused the entire thing. But over here, we're afraid that maybe the air, or the wind in the air, got into the cut, they got into the wound, and killed him. Shema Ihu, Kirev Mitato, or maybe he, by thrashing about with involuntary muscle movements, made his death happen a bit earlier. But definitely he was going to die, that's no question. So that means that even though becoming someone who was a person who was going to be kirev mitato was done through the shochet, but since he did it, the shochet is not chayav galus on him. So when it comes to the din of galus, he's potter. When it comes to the wife, he's definitely dead, and that's all that we care about. So my beinayo, is there a practical difference between the two possibilities, that maybe there was air that entered the wound and made him die fast, or maybe he thrashed about? Says the Gemara, of course, there's a difference. The difference would be the shechti bebeit reshisha. What if he shechted him in a airproof room that was made entirely sealed with marble? So then there would be no ruach. And nonetheless, the guy went ahead and he was mefarches. He was thrashing about through spasms. So over there, he was makarev his misai de pirchus. There you do have it. So it would be potter. But on the sad that maybe it's the ruach, then he would be chayim. Or the opposite, the shechti v'ruach, that he was shechted outdoors, but that he did not move at all. So if the point over here is that the ruach b'balato, then he would be putter. If the point is that maybe he did something by moving about, if we see he didn't move about, then the guy would be chayim. Now, we read in the Mishnah that you cannot be made on a person that he's dead in order to be matir his wife, unless it's within 3 days of death. So Rebbe Rehuda, on the other hand, said you can't give a particular time. Lo kol, he said, lo kol adam, lo kol amokam, lo kol ha-sha'ot shavim, right? That's what Rebbe Yehuda said. Now, the question that we have now is, when Rebbe Yehuda said that, did he mean to say lakula? In other words, he was saying, look, I'm saying, according to you, Tanakama, you only have 3 days. I say, look, you never know. I mean, what if it was very cool temperatures? I mean, or what if the person was very thin or whatever? So you can't give it 3 days. Maybe sometimes it's 5 days. Or was he saying just the opposite? Or the chumra poly was, according to Tanakama, it's 3 days. And according to Rebbe Yehuda, it's not always 3 days. It's you have to take a look at the circumstances. It may be in certain times, it may be much less. So, I mean, obviously we could also, as Tosis points out, we could also have asked whether maybe he was saying it in both directions, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechurma. We're trying to start gently to see what it is that we can ascertain, then we'll see whether maybe perhaps it was meant in both directions. Tashma. So we're trying now to figure out Rebbe Yehuda Mabava's pshat from the following. Da'u gavra d'tava b'karmi, there was a man who drowned in the town of Karmi. V'asku rabi hadaya, and they went ahead now and got his body out of the water in a place called the Bar Hadaya. And this took place 3 days after the drowning. L'bata t'lata yomi. The Antsava, Rav Dimi Narda, L'davito, Rav Dimi Narda, allowed his wife to get married. The two, another Maisa, was Ahu Gavra d'itba b'diglas, there was a certain person who drowned in the Chidekel River. V'yasku agishra d'shabistana, and they found the body only on the Sebastian Bridge, and this was 5 days later, as we'll see. V'yansva rava l'davisa apum d'shishbani l'basa chamisha yomi. And Rava, on the basis of the testimony of five very good friends, after 5 days, nonetheless allowed his wife to get married. So now look, Yamit Bishlam, if you're ready to say that when Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava said what he said, he meant it lakula, so then these two mandiarmim who were ready to extend the time, so they would be in fact going at least aliba Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava. Okay, Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava. But if you're going to tell me that Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava was being more machmir, lechumra poling, so then it turns out that Rav Dimi Minarda was not following any shita. Rava was not following any shita, because Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava would have said even less than 3 days. What right did they have to do 3 or 5 days? So you know, David, come on. Who exactly were they following? And it says the Gemara, this has nothing to do with it. This is a special case. Shaini Maya, that something. We're talking about cold water. Cold water actually causes the wound, the body to contract. It prevents it from swelling and losing its shape. And therefore, it may be that indeed over there, anybody would have said that it would have been recognizable later. Ask the Gemara of Amen, my Marzubaka, wait a second, that's very convenient. Before you said that water makes things worse, now you're telling me that water makes things better? Well, of course, Hanimileyekalikamaka over there, we were talking about, well, there's no wound over here. The guy basically drowned. But Ekaleka Maka over here, the mitzvah, indeed it cools the body, it prevents it from swelling. Vahani Mili, when can you give over a dut to somebody who drowned? Only where the chiaske chazi b'shaiti, that you took him out of the water, and as he was taken out of the water in a state of preservation, he was identified, avalishtai. But if you leave him out of the water, the decay that follows the water, the bloating, once he starts warming, is almost immediate. And therefore, since he was spent so much time in the water, mitpach tofach, the body is certainly going to swell and not be properly recognizable to be made for his wife.